So great to have Jared with us. I almost feel like the things that I would have said, we've already just had an example of, because the reason that we invited Jared to come and be amongst us, because he carries such a strong sense of anointing to bring the presence of God, not just to teach, but to carry something significant. And so we believe that it's significant in the life of the church, for us as individuals, but for us corporately as well. So as Jared comes and speaks and ministers to us, why don't we just open our hearts up to what God is going to say through us. I think you'll agree we're in a great place to hear from Jared and hear God's word to us. So why don't we welcome Jared as he comes and speaks to us.
Thank you. Bless you, Matthew. Wonderful. Well, it's great to be here. I am going to use the flip chart a little bit as we get going. There's some seats in the middle. If you're on the very edges, you might prefer now to move into the middle where you can see what I'm going to draw. Otherwise, some of what I'm going to teach might not make sense. So be really brave and have a shuffle now. If you can move a bit more into the middle, that might help you. Because it's a broad room. It may not. So have a shuffle till you can see that, if I were you. Otherwise, you might miss a little bit of what I'm going to share. Thanks, buddy. That's great. Thank you. Wonderful. So I think this is a house, a church that loves the presence of God. Amen. Am I right? And loves for God to speak. And so I feel really at home, just sharing your culture is very similar to the culture at my own church, and because we have a passion to build around the presence of God. Everything changed when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. Worship changed. Our interaction with God changed. No longer was it prophets and kings and far-off folk getting to interact with God. You get to interact with God. I get to interact with God. Isn't that fantastic? Worship is no longer turning up and giving, you know, a cow to the priest. Go, there you go, burn that then. And thank you very much. Now I'll go back to plowing my fields and getting on with what I do. Worship is no longer so much about the form. Worship is an encounter with the living God. It's an opportunity to, literally the word means, to kiss his hand and to interact with God and to connect with him. And so I want to talk this weekend, and I'll probably, because it's how you've titled it, we're going to talk about the presence of God all weekend. But I want to talk about several cultures that we need to build in our lives. And then if there's any leaders here, you'll want to observe some of this, what we build into church in order to have a powerful culture of the presence among us. Now, in our church, we use words like we have a presence culture. And some people look at us cross-eyed because, you know, now I think you're going to get it because you've got a similar heart, which is this. Our Christianity is not just projects and services and songs and outreach and preaching and good morality and pastoral care. The whole point of this is that God lives among us, right? Moses is meeting God, Exodus 33, and he's saying, God, if you don't go with us, don't send us up from here. And God says, I will go with you. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Moses says, what else will distinguish us from all the other people on the face of the earth but your presence? The thing that we do different, all religions, most religions sing, most religions lecture and speak or preach, all give and care in various sorts of ways very often. The thing that makes us different is that our King is in our midst. We get to encounter the King, right? And so I want to talk about some of the aspects of what do we build into our lives for there to be a sense of God's presence moving among us. Imagine it. From the very, very earliest times in the book of Genesis, they built altars. Even, you know, Cain and Abel is a story of sacrificing things to God and building an altar and burning it, giving it up to God. Our lives must build, and our churches must build an altar to God for him to come and rest on our lives. You're an altar builder. Be like Abraham. Pitch your tent, build your altars. Find a place to go. You know what? My life is a little place where heaven touches earth. Now, what do you need in your life for that to happen? That's what we're going to look at in various ways this weekend, these next three sessions. And I'm going to start by talking really practically. It's almost going to be a bit workshop-like. Is that all right? But don't worry, I won't get you Morris dancing or anything like that. I promise. I'm going to talk about the area of one of the things I want to talk about is the area of worship. We'll see how many we manage to pack in this afternoon. It's only a three-hour session, isn't it? So don't worry. I'm kidding. I'll be done in less than an hour. So I want to start by talking about the whole area of worship. Our worship draws God into our world. You know, you could have periods, decades, even hundreds of years of silence in the Bible, and then it says, and men began to call on the name of the Lord. Right, and then there's a rumble in heaven, and suddenly God begins to respond. God waits. He meets us at the altar of our appetite. The fact that we're going, God, I need you. I love Psalm 42. It starts out like this, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants or longs for you. Do you know your soul has hunger pangs? Sometimes you just get grumpy with your husband, but actually you've got spiritual hunger pangs and you don't even recognize them. You try and, you know, I don't know, watch a little bit more X Factor or eat a little bit more nice food, but actually, don't you ever lie in bed sometimes and just go, oh, God. And I love the phrase it uses here, my soul thirsts for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? When do I get to meet God? Not church, not singing, not another sermon. I get tired of the sound of my own voice, let alone anything else. When do I get to, in all of this stuff, when do I meet God? Do you ever get like that? Not another. I want God, pure, powerful, unadulterated God. Jesus didn't have any music in the background while miracles were going on. He didn't need to create an atmosphere. Somehow he was an atmosphere. When are we going to become an atmosphere? Because somehow my life has become a gateway, a connection point between heaven and earth. I've got God in my life. If we don't long for him, first point, write it down, leaders, create a culture of longing. See, God doesn't meet us at our point of need. He meets us at our point of longing. That's why there's still so much need in the world. If he met people because they had need, there would be no need. Why is there a huge amount of needs? And some of us would go, God, why do we ignore this? Actually, the altar of appetite is where we draw God into our world. You know when your journey gets exciting? When you start to go, there must be more to church than this. There must be more to life than this. One of the most powerful things you can ever admit is, I'm bored. I've got to have more. I've got to know, when do I get to meet you, God? And as you know, the psalm goes on to say, deep in me calls out to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. God can come like a waterfall. Ooh, girl. You know, some of us, our problem isn't that we get angry, it's that we don't get angry enough. Stop being nice. Stop being all nice and Christian. Because the people that change the world are the angry and the longing and the, oh God, when? There must be more. There must be more power than this. There must be more of a moving of your spirit than this. There must be more for this area. There must be more for my workplace, more for my home. And as we build an altar of appetite and longing and crying out, God begins to stir in the heavens and say, I'll come and meet you at your point of need. Preachers, don't preach your congregation full. Preach them empty. Preach them hungry. Make them go away going, I must have more. Not, ooh, that was lovely. Wasn't church lovely? Sorry, that's the accent where I come from. Have people walk out going, oh my word, there must be more. I'm going to go and pray and maybe I'll stay awake all night. I'm going to read and maybe I won't stop reading. I'm going to long and maybe I won't stop longing. I'm going to be an irritable little person until I find God. Those are the people that have an extraordinary presence in their lives. In 2 Chronicles 7, you know the bit, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. In the Amplified Version, it says this, where it, for seek my face, it says, if they will crave and require of necessity my face. Here's my first question. God will come and his presence will be in a church or in a home or on a person when they crave of necessity his face. I crave God. I'm a God junkie. I just love God. I've got to have more of you in my life. Anybody ever heard of Tommy Tenney? The original God chaser, right? Tommy Tenney, remarkable author, real man of the presence of God. And his family, if you go back about 300 years, were involved in building a chapel quite near my home. So Tommy Tenney comes to stay in our area quite a lot, and I end up doing the airport run and things like that. And on this one particular occasion, I actually managed to take him down myself. No one else could take him. So he jumps in my little yellow car that I had at the time. And I thought, well, 4 hours with Tommy Tenney from Hull to Heathrow, I'll do it. And I'm going to ask every question about revival that I can, because this guy's a revivalist. So we head off and I get 4 hours with Tommy Tenney. And I'm asking him questions about the presence of God and God moving and revival and what's happening there. And then I thought back to Bible school. I'd seen some videos of an American who saw incredible moves of God in Argentina. He sparked the Argentinian revival, and his name was Edward Miller. And I said to Tommy, did you know Edward Miller? And he said, no, Edward Miller. He's one of my great family friends. Was one of my great family friends. I said, tell me about Edward Miller. Now, Edward Miller had seen remarkable moves of God. If you want to have a there must be more than this in your spirit, catch anything by Edward Miller. Go YouTube him, anything. And hear this guy tell his stories of the move of God. He's the guy who, have you ever heard me tell the story about them having a prayer meeting in Argentina? There's a couple of dozen people in the church, and he decides, the Lord tells him, pray every night. Tell people to come at 8, not leave till 12, and just do whatever God says to do. And they're all there for 4 hours. 4 of them turn up, and they're wondering, you know, has God said anything? 4 hours of silence. And then one says, well, I feel God said to slap the table in the middle of the room. You ever heard me tell the story about slap the table? Anyway, so this, you know, 3 of them had nothing from God. The 4th woman says, I feel like God's telling me to slap the table. So go on then, slap the table. Oh, no, it's silly. And well, yeah, go on, it's nothing. Slap. No, I don't want to. 2nd night, same thing, 4 hours of silence. God said to do anything? No. Well, I feel like God's still saying slap the table. Well, go on, slap it. 10 days in. Night after night. No. Well, I still feel... Oh, for heaven's sake, slap the table. They're all dancing around the table, slapping it, except for this woman who'll dance but not slap. 10, 11, 12 days in. Finally, she slaps the blooming table. The windows physically blow open in the room as the Spirit of God hits this little church. There's only 4 of them in it. By that Sunday, it's full. Within 3 months, they're planting churches all over Argentina because a woman slapped a table. It's just the power that is available when we hear his voice and do what he says. His incredible power is released. Anyway, so this Edward Miller, who sparked the Argentinian revival, Tommy told me of a time he went to Australia where there had been a major move of God decades before, but now it had all died down. And Edward Miller was one of these that's a little bit, you know, his head's in another world. I think I'm getting more like that the older I get. He just cared about the presence of God. He'd given up trying to be a nice Christian. And he walked in, and there was church, hundreds of them, good church. And he walked up, and he could sense there was still something of that old revival in that room. And he just walked up to the front. He didn't greet the people. He didn't explain who he was. They'd done a basic introduction. He just stood there, and he looked over the heads of the people, and he just said, are you still there? And the presence of God just fell on the congregation. Revival broke out again. Do you know there are some people that can just go, there he is. That's God. And if you follow that, something incredible will happen. Do you know just something happened? I mean, Matt had said to me, you know, shall I shut down the music? And I'm like, yeah, I'll talk. And then I just, there was this whiff of something in the room. Anybody else sense it? It's just whiff of heaven in the room. And so I'm like, well, let's just sing a bit more. He's there. Now, I guarantee you, some in the room will have gone, yeah, I sensed it, and some will have gone, I didn't sense it. What are you talking about? Awaken your spiritual antenna. Because it can be a little bit like when Jacob falls asleep and he goes, God was in this place and I wasn't aware of it. And he has this incredible encounter. Listen, God is available. But it begins with an appetite that says, where are you, God? Edward Miller wasn't bothered about a smart, big church, hundreds of people. They'd had a move of God 30 years ago. Who cares about a move of God 30 years ago? I can smell the Holy Spirit today, he's saying. God, give us the antenna to smell the Spirit of God in our lives today. Not yesterday's stories, today. When do I get to meet God? You're allowed to be grumpy about it. I am all the time. My wife, when I get too grumpy, says, will you just go away and meet God? Because until you do, I've got grumpy husband. I'm just waiting for my 8-year-old to start to say it. Daddy, why don't you just go and meet God? Because you're being a bit grumpy with me. Our longings and our appetite is the beginning of connecting with the presence of God. If we don't long, we'll never have great moves of God in our lives. If we can't track and trace through our lives times when we've been kept up all night or prayed in groups because the excitement has grown in a group to say, we've just got to have more of God. These are the moments where we build in a sense of what it is to walk with the presence and the power of God. The thing is, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, as far as I'm concerned, tidy church sort of ended. If you read the book of Acts in chapter 2, it kind of got pretty messy, did it not? Do you know what I mean? Right, they're all glowing, they're all speaking in tongues. It's a mess. You know, there was no PowerPoint working. There wasn't 3 fast songs, 3 slow songs. God invaded the church. When a place longs for the presence of God, we've got to have the capacity to let God invade in our worship. I remember being in Mexico at a leaders' conference, about 6,000 leaders in Mexico. And it was fantastic, and there was a great sense of the presence of God, and these guys were in revival. The thing that struck me most was there was about 30 dancers. And they would come out and dance, usually during the praise part of the service. Most amazing thing is they came out, wasn't really our culture, it's much more South American culture, but it's very well choreographed dancers, about 30 of them in this large expanse of ministry area at the front of the hall that would seat, like I say, about 6,000 people. And they came out and they danced, but what I'd love is that about on song 2 or 3, every single night, slowly they'd start to be more and more overwhelmed by the presence of God. They were obviously very well practiced, very capable, very good dancers, but as soon as they smelt the presence of God, they start to give up and go, oh, and one by one, doof, they'd fall to the ground and all the others would dance around them. 45 minutes into every service, it was just a heap of dancers on the floor, overwhelmed, praying, crying, seeking God, on their knees, on their faces, crying out to him. The thing about programmed church is that we actually say to God's presence is, you're not allowed to come anymore. I believe in excellence, but I believe in overwhelmable excellence. Because the whole point of it is this. Aren't we supposed to long for him to come and give us those red letter days when you go, oh my word, I was not planning that. What on earth happened there? Signs and wonders. I've been in meetings like many of you will have done where leaders get out their cars in the car parks and they can't walk towards the building. The presence of God is so strong. They're on their knees in the car park. I remember I was talking to someone just recently about some meetings in 2011. They said, as we approached the lobby, we had to bend and bow through the lobby because the holiness of God was so strong. I remember meetings that were 9 hours long. Trust me, I am not up for 9-hour meetings unless God is in the room. Right? If when I'm in a 9-hour meeting, if God isn't there, I am dreaming of golf, just like the rest of you might be, golf or Formula One or something other than. But when God's in the room and you go, oh my word, when do I get to meet God? I long for those times when God breathes into the church. It's a mountaintop. You don't necessarily live there, But you know, there are times when waves of God stream through the church and you go, oh my word, he's here. And people pop out of wheelchairs and blind eyes open and deaf ears open and miracles just seem to abound, and even children are performing miracles. We've seen dozens upon dozens of deaf ears open by our 14-year-olds praying for them, and they walk away going, good heavens, how did that happen? They go back to picking their nose with the same hand. That's how normal they are. Something inside of us longs for God. Where is he right now? Well, I tell you what, I sense God in this room, right? And we just got to let that longing grow to begin with. If you ever get bored in church, now I do when it's boring. Do you know what I mean? And I'm the pastor, good heavens. But let your longing grow. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come and drink. You know what I mean? Oh, God, I long for you. So there has to be a culture of longing and desiring. As soon as we're comfortable with the status quo, we'll never have a church filled with God's presence. You know what I mean? If we're happy, I hate it when our church starts to feel content in the wrong content. There's a good content. There's a wrong kind of hankering that's unhealthy. But there's another side where you go, oh God, we must have you moving among us. I love it when the youth are so aflame that they go, no, no, no. We ain't going bowling tonight. We're praying. We're longing. And that happens sometimes. So let me go into the area of worship. A culture of worship. And let me just see if I can... this is something... I'm going to do something on the flip chart that we tend to do with our leaders when we're explaining a culture of the presence of God in worship. And I hope it kind of makes sense to you and you find it useful. But we have an opportunity when we gather, and I'm going to talk in another session about what happens when we separate and go out into the world with the presence of God. But I'm going to talk about... See, I think if the presence of God is rich when we gather, there's a chance he's going to be rich when we go, right? And so when we're together, it should be a moment where we're encountering God so powerfully, we take him into the schools and the workplaces and our homes. And so healings, miracles, signs, and wonders become common in our home place. But he has to have a rich sense of the presence of God. Now, for me, if we fill our meetings with 3 fast songs, 2 slow songs, a word, and then a really happy song at the end of the service because we're going home for lunch, we can program God out. I go to some churches where they've scheduled the worship weeks before it happens. I'm like, how can you even know what happens if the breath of the Holy Spirit comes in the room? Now, what they usually say, well, if he does, that's fine. But actually, you see, because the altar of appetite's important, you can't just go, well, if he does, that's fine. You've got to long for God to turn up. Are you with me? So actually having an altar that says, God, we need you. We don't want to do this without you. It's like Moses, don't send us out from here if you won't come with us. We want the fire and the cloud to come with us into everything we do. I don't know about you. I want the fire and the cloud in every service. Just me, okay. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. So here's how I think of worship, okay? And I was a worship leader before I was a church leader. I'm going to use, wow, that's just a great color, don't you think? That's just woken me up. Wow. So I've got a little chart here. It's going to help you if you can see it. And let me read some scriptures to you. We're talking about the area of worship. I'm going to talk about how we make the place of worship a place of deep encounter with God, okay? Because I don't know about you, my perfect picture of church is God turned up. Doesn't mean that doesn't mean that none of it is programmed, but we walk out going, oh my word, God is in that place when we're together. Right, so just work with me for a minute. Flesh and spirit, do we know that they are opposed? Galatians 5 says that they're in conflict with each other, your flesh and your spirit. There's a war going on inside of every one of us in this room. Even right now, your spirit desires one thing, your flesh often desires the complete opposite. Are you with me? Yeah. So I'm going to put at the top of here, I'm going to write the word spirit at the top of my chart just here, and I'm going to write flesh right down here. They're two opposed dimensions, okay? So this line here charts how spiritual, how in the spirit, how connected to God's spirit you are at a given moment, actually. I don't just mean in theory. I don't just mean I got filled with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago, therefore I have a badge that says I'm spirit-filled. That's irrelevant and it's a non-truth. The reality is, unless you're spirit-filled today, you're not spirit-filled. What you mean is you were spirit-filled. Just let that land. To have been spirit-filled doesn't make you spirit-filled today. How much of the spirit is operating in your life today is how spirit-filled you are. Now, the Bible says that we worship in the spirit. So we're supposed to be taking our worship dimension right up here. I wonder what worship in the flesh is. Mark 7, Jesus talks about you worship me in vain. It's just traditions taught by men. He says you're hypocrites, literally, which means actors. It's Greek actors that would take on and off different masks so they could play different parts. We can play act worship. Have you noticed? I sometimes I look around at faces in worship and I go, you look so bored. Why are you even here? That went down well. But the truth is we could be bored because we just go, well, it's song singing. No, 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 no. You've missed the point. You're in the old covenant if you think it's just song singing. Some dimensional thing is supposed to be going on in our worship. And so here we've got spirit. Down here we got flesh. And the truth is whether you're the pastor or a born again new Christian, a day old, you've got a choice every day whether you're in the flesh or in the spirit. Everybody with me? Right. And then across the bottom here, we're going to use time and we're going to use the duration of a service. But to be honest, you could write Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday if you wanted to. When does your morning service start? Here. 10th. That's a very godly time. I like that time. What time does it finish? 12-ish. That'll do. So you got an hour. You got 90 minutes to meet God. All right. From there to there. Now I'm going to draw a line just here. I call it the full assurance of faith line. And I'll tell you why. Where's my little top gun? There we go. Let me read you some scriptures. With my glasses on. Hebrews 4:16, if you're taking notes, says things like this. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. From that sentence, what do we need in order to approach God? Confidence. Are you with me? You need confidence to worship properly and encounter God. Hebrews 10, therefore, brothers, verse 19 onwards, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter, what do you need to enter God's presence? Confidence. Confidence to enter the most holy place, that's the place of God's intense presence, by the blood of Jesus. It's the cross that gives us confidence, not our own behavior, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain. In other words, there's a veil there that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So I put to you, work with me as I workshop this. I'm going to call this the full assurance of faith line. It's where we go from fear to faith, from reticence to faith, from boredom to faith, from I'm not so sure that God likes me and I'm not even sure if I like me, to faith. Listen, you won't meet God until you step into his presence with faith. So there is a line that you have to cross. Jesus bought the way into his presence, but you still have to activate faith to use that way. Are you with me? You have to be able to step into this realm, the spirit realm. Philippians 3:3, we worship by the Holy Spirit. John 4, we worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, work with me. So, Matt turns up on a Sunday morning. Of course, the guy is so spiritual, he probably glows in the dark. Does everyone agree? So when Matt turns up at 10:30, of course, he'll have turned there way before that because he's a very godly leader. Matt arrives and he's already here. It's 10:30. He's had his quiet time. He's had a good pray. He's all tanked up every Sunday without fail. That's what we're like, aren't we, Matt? We just, yeah, exactly. And then Claire, it's Claire, isn't it? Well, we're even more spiritual, Claire. She'll be right up there, of course. We all know that. And you know what? And there's, you know, there's various people. Do you know that some people turn up to church down here, right? And down here. Anybody? Just thoroughly depressed. Not even, you know what I mean? It's taken them to Saturday to remember that they're a Christian. Right? They keep forgetting until 2 o'clock in the afternoon every afternoon. So who knows, when we're all sat, we all look the same, but in our hearts there's immensely different things going on. This is what corporate worship is. We're going to get all of these people up here. Because listen, we're going to have an incredible encounter with God. I have found from 27 years of leading worship full-time, you could say, in years before that, when you get 60, 70% of a congregation crossing into the place of faith, and the electricity of God's presence begins to break out among you, the rivers of living water begin to flow from within you, because thirst and belief meet, right? John 7. This is where meetings are incredible in God. But who anything can break out. Honestly, the rules are, there's various things you have to do down here, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, but when you get up here, you just hear his voice and do what he says, and incredible things break out. The issue is getting ourselves up here and realizing, guys, we've got to go from wherever we're at as a church, and we need to step into the Spirit and have an encounter with the living God right now. Miracles and prophecy will break out in this room if we do. No program will be able to hold God back if we step together into the Spirit and pursue his presence. We're not here to sing a few songs and hopefully you're cheered up by the end. We are here to have a divine encounter with the living God. But the first thing that needs to happen is that as many hearts as possible need to step into the place of boldness and faith, because that's the only way for us to together go before the throne of God. So why do you think we sing upbeat songs? Why do you enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise? We're trying to create some boldness in the hearts to begin to step into the place of the Spirit so that we can step up together. So down here, you'll find that we play a lot of fast songs, thanksgiving songs. We encourage, we stir, we try to help people to, God has forgiven you, he's for you. We hear testimonies. Why? Here's the point in our church, here's how we build it. The whole point is that we're creating a platform to gather as many as possible and go into the Spirit together and have a prophetic encounter with the living God where miracles, signs, wonders, and prophecy breaks out. That's what we're after. I don't care about what songs you use. You can use Twinkle Twinkle Little Star for all I care. As long as your Spirit encounters the Spirit of the living God, something incredible will break out. Is that making sense? Now, here's some meetings go like this, don't they? Because the majority of people might be here, let's say. I love it when you turn up and somehow we're all up here and suddenly, whoosh, well, what happened there? And the worship team just think that's the best meeting possible. We didn't have to do anything. The place exploded. But when you get those mornings when you're all there, anybody been in these church services? Anybody been there? Anybody been in this service? It's like every now and then, oh, I felt God. Oh, but we did the next song instead of listening to God. Because the set list became the King of Kings instead of the King of Kings being the King of Kings. That's why I think set lists are of the devil, but we won't go there. We need to build this place of faith in our hearts and step through into the realm of the Spirit. Now, there's different ways that we do this. Number one, the sacrifice of praise. Praise does something inside of us. It's not just to jolly us up. Are you ready for another chart? I hope you can spot it. I'll keep swapping around. Right, we're going to draw Matt again. Good-looking guy, broad shoulders, chunky legs. Hadn't particularly noticed, but there you go. Oh, dodgy leg, actually. There you go. There's Matt. Right, Matt the worshipper. Now we got several things going on in our world, every single one of us. You've got your soul. or your flesh, that's your mind, your emotions, your will, and they can act independent of God. Anybody realize that? Oh, yes. I can be an idiot as much as, you know, I can be the devil one minute and divine the next. Anybody else has that capacity? Welcome to my world. Absolutely we can. Because you've got a heart, right, that's got emotions and feelings and all that kind of stuff. You've got a mind, you've got a brain. This isn't a haircut. Let's just call that the mind, right? And then I'm going to go, and I'm aiming for the belly button here, right? Because I'm going to say that the rivers of living water, your spirit is down in your gut, your bowels, your innermost being, okay? So we're going to put that there. And a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people sense the Holy Spirit down here first and foremost. Some sense him on their hands or, you know, whatever. But a lot of people go, ooh, that's why you get the groan of the Spirit in prayer. Jesus prayed with loud groans and tears. Oh, there's something that goes off in your spirit when you pray. Some of you think I'm mad, but that's okay. I'm just hopefully making you long for God. So listen, you've got all this at any given moment going on inside of you. You've got your thoughts. Now, your thoughts are very powerful. Your thoughts download feelings into you. Think of thoughts like an email and feelings like an attachment. When you download a thought, you download an attachment at the same time, which is a feeling. So if you keep thinking about that thing that happened 10 years ago that hurt you, you will recapture all the same feelings. Your neck will go red. You'll get angry. You think of all the things that you wish you'd said that were so much better than you did at the time because you're a bit dumbstruck that they would say such a cruel thing to you. Anybody know what I'm doing? You're looking so holy at me like you never do this. But your mind is incredibly powerful. You've got all your emotions, emotional things like hunger. Anybody else get hangry? Is it just me that my blood sugar goes low and suddenly don't ask me to make any decision or to be nice? I am now hungry. With no pizza, there will be no pleasantry until there's pizza, right? You get attraction. Understand in many ways there's a side of you that's just like a supercomputer. If you understand yourself, you'll be able to control yourself. And like David said, come on, oh my soul, do this, do that. Praise the Lord. Psalm 103, stuff like that. So you have emotions and feelings and attractions and all kinds of, you have all sorts of chemicals going off in you. Why is it so powerful? It sets something off in your brain. It gives you a little drug hit. It's exactly the same stuff as fight and flight. Goes off in your brain when you talk about gossip. It's why newspaper headlines sell negative newspaper headlines, because a little bit of fight or flight goes off in your brain. And actually, your body goes, ooh, I like that. So you go for the headline and you read all the Daily Mail stuff. And don't go any further there. And we got all sorts of stuff that kicks off in us. Then we have our spirits. And the moment you're born again, your spirit comes alive. And rivers of living water can, by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, flow from within you. Now, we have to line up the spirit, the emotion and the heart and the mind. And when you do, it gets incredibly powerful. Praise and worship lines up your innermost being to encounter God. Here's what it does. Number one, the Spirit of the living God is saying, come on, praise me, worship me, encounter God, know his presence. And when we get, I don't know about you, but your heart state, anybody ever get miserable? Just me. Thank you. I'm going to preach just to you. Right. Now, sometimes I can get down, anxious, miserable, guilty. Anybody? So what the kind of thing I do, I'm driving to church in the morning meeting. Usually it's best when there's no one else in the car. And I just start to go, I praise you, Jesus. I refuse to be depressed. I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to give in to worry. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Come on, oh my soul, put your hope in God. Now, what happens when you do that? Now, some of you go, I've never done that in my life. That's why you're so miserable. What happens? You're just a slave to your flesh. But praise is a sacrifice. What's a sacrifice? Putting a knife in something. What am I putting a knife in? Old me. Miserable old me. See, God doesn't want to improve you. He wants to kill you. Understand that. The whole point of the gospel is not to improve you. It's to make sure you're thoroughly dead so Christ can live in you. So we've got to realize we have as much capacity to be a miserable git or to speak of the devil or to be holy and divine and move in the things of God. And a sacrifice of praise puts a knife through miserable old me and says, come on, soul, put your hope in God. The other thing that happens, I begin to line up my mind with the thoughts of heaven. Why? Because it doesn't matter how filled with the Spirit I get, as a man thinks, so is he. I've got to line up my soul and my mind and my emotions and my will with the things of God. Then it gets powerful. Something happens when we begin to grab all of our being and say, I'm going to give God what he deserves, a sacrifice of praise. And so we praise our way and we realign ourselves through praise and worship. It's the fruit of lips, Romans 12 says, that confess his name. What happens when you get a room full of people going, we're not going to give in to what we feel like this morning. We're going to worship God because we just know how to do it. We just know how to step into the Spirit. There's a story in 2 Kings, I think it's 2 Kings 4, and it's Elisha being a bit miserable. Now, Elisha's a little bit miserable, and three kings come, and he likes one of them, he's not so keen on one of the others. And they say, we need the word of the Lord. And Elisha says things like, well, it's only because of the presence of Jehoshaphat that I'm going to do what you ask, because I'm feeling a bit grumpy. Then what does he say? Come on, it's a famous one. He says, bring me a harpist. In other words, I know what to do with this miserable soul. And it says, as the harpist played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. Work with me, people. He was down here. He couldn't operate in the things of God or the things of the Spirit, but he knew how to train his soul to step into here at will. I want you to understand, if you're going to build a culture of the presence, the church, the core of this church must know how to step from here to here at will and have an encounter of the presence of God. Then it will start to spill over into all your other ministries and lives. The whole church must know, we know how together to use the sacrifice of praise and to use music for the hand of God to come upon us, and we step into the things of the Spirit together. So Elisha called on the harpist played, the hand of God came on him, and the word of God came from his mouth. Oh boy, if the moment we learn that worship is an act of will, not to sing a song, but to step into the Spirit and encounter God, things become incredibly powerful. Does that make sense? We've got to deal with the conflict that's going on inside of us, and something incredibly powerful happens. Your voice is incredibly powerful. Okay, I know I'm kind of randomly going around. I'm going to finish in 5 or 10 minutes. Your voice in worship is incredibly powerful. Here's what I see a lot of English people do. You're looking at me. Just have a little look once you've done your notes. This is what a lot of English people do in worship. And I want to tell you now, you have not praised God one bit when you do this. And then they think, I'm going to get really excited now. There's three pictures of Jesus in the book of Revelation. All three of them, he has a sword coming out of his mouth. We're told in Ephesians 6, pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's something powerful about the moment you open your mouth. Understand, has anybody here got any problems? I have, right? Now, the Bible doesn't say measure your problem or think about your mountain. Or compare mountains with each other, or analyze your mountain, or try and work out how it's all going to happen. The Bible says crazy things that are countercultural to some of us, says things like, speak to the mountain. What? So with the high praises of God in my mouth and a two-edged sword in my hand, we go, oh, it's in my heart, brother. It's in my heart. Listen, I want you to understand this weaponry in your mouth. You want to start to change the environment around about you. You will live in a house that's made by your words. We all do. As you begin to change the atmospheres by speaking out praise and worship and the words of God, things begin to change in you. Science has proven that you actually physically change as you hear certain words. When you speak, I am loved by God. He is for me, not against me. I am forgiven. I am loved. I shame has no use in my life. I am loved by the King of Kings. I like God and God likes me. If God be for me, who can be against me? The devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Okay, that's not a verse, but it's cool, isn't it? You know, we'll use it anyway, right? Listen, we need to learn. And I understand for some, a sacrifice is to whisper. I get that. But if you can start to kill the control of your own flesh. Because actually, can I tell you how a lot of us are in worship? We're covered in fear. So you can't get up here. You live down here in worship. That's why it's boring song singing for you. Why? Because you can't approach till you're bold. Until you're bold, you won't get through into the place of the Spirit and actually start to encounter his throne. You go, really? Yeah. Well, how am I scared? Well, some of us are scared of raising our hands. Now, listen, when I was 18, I was what I call a surfboard worshiper. I wiggled my fingers in my pockets and that was dancing. Do you know what I mean? And then I realized God wanted to use me in the area of worship. So I said, well, God, you've got to get me out of all my fears about using my body. Now, we concoct this dodgy theology that says, well, as long as it's in my heart, it doesn't matter. No, if there's fear living in your life, faith attracts heaven, fear attracts demons. Be ruthless with the area of fear in your life, right? So I'm there saying, God, you know, you want me to have a worship ministry, but I'm scared to raise my hands. Then I figured out the Bible said, raise your hands, not your arms. So I just raised my hands and no one could see. Do you know what I mean? But then slowly over time, I got to half-mast. Anybody at half-mast yet? And then I realized it was as easy as sticking washing on the line. And put your palms up. Done. And then the dancing bit. Come on. Who remembers the 80s two-step? Come on, work with me. I caught someone doing it the other day. I wanted to embarrass them, but I thought that wouldn't help with this dynamic. I'm pushing them back off this, back to this. And they were doing the two-step. You know, listen, I remember in Bible school, worship took off to another realm after the drama class. Because before that, we had a room full of people that were actually just, okay, I worship you, God, and oh, praise you, Jesus, and oh, you know, but it was all very tentative and wrapped up in fear. But we have this drama class on about the third week of term, every term, and we'd all have to get, and we were like little seeds in the ground. And then slowly we were going to grow and our petals were going to form and we were going to come out the ground and then we were going to blossom and bloom. Now, here's the weird thing. Worship took off after that moment every term. Why? It dealt with all those things that go on, that crowd our spirits and our minds when we're worshiping. Oh, should I? I don't want to shout. Don't want to look like them. They look a bit weird. David said, wasn't a tribute to Jesus, what isn't to Jesus. Michael wanted to keep David down here. David said, no, boldness, I'll be even more undignified than this. Something happens when we break through the boldness, which don't think of it as brash boldness. It's the full assurance of faith. It isn't really what we outwardly do. It's that there's no fears holding us back on the inside. And we say, I am now God's. And as we worship with confidence, we step into a realm together. Now, I felt like maybe half the room was stepping into a realm just before I got up to speak. That's why I said, oh, come on, let's sing in tongues a little bit. Why? Because tongues edifies, it builds you up. You're watching, it builds you up. When you speak in tongues, it re-electrifies your spirit. Imagine that the Holy Spirit is like electricity. But so often, fear and flesh is like dull wood. It's not a conductor, an insulator. But listen, when our spirits are alive before God, they're conductors of the power of God. Suddenly everything becomes electric and we begin to encounter God. Now, whether it's between 10:30 and 12 o'clock, that together we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Together we get overwhelmed by his power. Together we bring a sacrifice of praise and step into a higher place. Or whether that's Monday to Friday, you just know how to drive along in your car as you head to work. And you know what? Today I'm going to walk in the Spirit in my office. Doesn't mean I have to prophesy or sing like a canary all day, but I'm going to enjoy my day with God and with the boldness and dignity of heaven inside of me. Imagine going to school knowing I'm walking in as a spirit person today with God on my side. I expect to have dreams and visions and prophecies from God. God is going to lead me where I walk. Imagine if we begin to step more and more up into this place corporately and then separately in our lives, where we would go in the things of God. Something happens when we step into the realm of faith together and cut the fear. Slowly my dancing turned into Wilder dancing. English people don't tend to really shout. We just move a bit more. Have you never noticed? Praise the Lord. Then the worship leader says, oh no, come on, let's do it better than that. And we go, oh, praise the Lord. So we move a bit more, but we don't actually shout. Praise the Lord is what a shout sounds like. Now I like it quiet. Anybody else like it quiet? I'm 46 now. I was just saying to Matt before, I'm starting to like it quiet myself. You know, I wish it didn't say praise him on the loud cymbals. It's the word loud I'm starting to not like anymore. It's starting to get on my nerves. But here's the thing. Worship is about God's protocol, not ours. If you want to live your life out of preference, fine, do without blessing. I want to live my life knowing the protocol of heaven and stepping in there. So if it's in the book, I want to understand it and not just go, you know what, I'm living this religion based on what I prefer rather than what God says. Because if God says it, there's incredible blessing. My brother is a leadership development guy, guru. We'll train partners of Sony and Coca-Cola and Manchester United Football Club and people like that. And he was in actually doing a session with Manchester United Football Club. And they were talking about the power of the physical body. And this non-Christian instructor stood up and he was explaining, so science has proven that there's one position you can put the human body in where it's virtually impossible to conjure up a negative emotion. And this non-Christian said, you stand upright and you look slightly upwards and you raise your hands and you put your palms in the air. And he says, this is the healthiest position for the human body to be in. It is very difficult to conjure up a negative emotion. And my brother's sitting there going, it's the posture of praise. Yeah. See, you were designed by a designer. And while we go, I don't like that, God's saying, I made you. People say, if only kids came with instructions, they do. This is how you work. This is how worship works. This is how you step into the Spirit. When we follow the protocol, incredible things break out. Within the realms of our personality still and who we are, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? We're all going to be a bit different, and honestly, a whisper for one is a sacrifice, whereas a shout would be a sacrifice for another. It doesn't matter. That is where it becomes very individual. But I remember, as I close, I remember this one lad in church. He's a bit of a miserable guy. Do you know what I mean? He just, in worship, didn't get the worship bit, do you know what I mean? Got the talky bit, we're all used to that, and got community, but didn't get the worship bit. And one day, I'd known him for years, one day I look across, he's on this side, and he's there with his arms in the air, bawling his eyes out. And I went up after and said, what happened to you? He said, well, you know what? I said, oh, blummineck, I'll just do what he says this time. So I put my hands in the air and I started to thank God. And I tell you, the presence of God came on me and I blubbed like a baby. Enter the gates of thanksgiving and the courts of praise. Just pushed him from this line into this, and suddenly he realized, oh, it's an encounter with the living God, not a sing-song. Oh, I heard God speak to me. I felt his approval. I sensed the Spirit of God bubbling up in me as I just followed the protocol of heaven. Something stirred in me. I've spent 11 years, and before that, because I was around as associate minister before that, in our church. And really, we train this over and over again with all of our leaders, and we train our congregations, guys, all the core must know how to step from here to here. So we don't spend our lives having sing songs, but we know how to. See, if 70% of you know how to step into that, you'll draw the others with you. Just the presence of God will break out. And that's where I've seen again and again, miracles break out. Non-Christians walk through the door, fall to the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit and get saved. Non-Christians get out of wheelchairs. Non-Christians come to Christ. Some walk in going, what's the tingle? What's the tingle? I remember being at the back listening to two girls talk. They weren't Christians. Can you feel something in this room? Yes, I can feel it. So they walked out the door. Now, I didn't follow them because that might have been creepy. But they said, look, let's go out and see if it goes away. And evidently it went away because they came back in going, oh, it's come back again. and they gave their lives to Christ. We do a little show on UCB radio, and essentially we edit out all the weird stuff so we look relatively normal on radio, or sound relatively normal. I remember these two people coming from Spain, I think it was, and they walked in. One was saved, one wasn't saved. And they walked in and they stood at the back of our prayer meeting before our main meeting, shaking violently under the power of the Holy Spirit as soon as they walked in the door. I said, "Oh, hello, are you okay?" And they said, "It's not like this on the radio, is it?" That comes not from an anointed minister or ministry. That is a body that knows how to step there and host heaven on earth together. That's what the culture of worship is. We're hosting God together. So we burst through. Let's stand in God's presence. We just got 2 minutes to do something together. And because we want to give time for food, and then we'll carry on tonight. But just stand with me in God's presence, just briefly. I hope you got something from that. I know it's a little bit more workshoppy than I'd normally do in a conference, but I felt to do it because I really believe there's a powerful culture of the presence in this house. And so I just wanted to, I felt it right to add something to that here today. Close your eyes one moment. Where are you on the line, the flesh-spirit line? I want you to go past the full assurance of faith line. In other words, you've got to tell yourself right now, you're loved. I don't care what you feel like. Understand, feelings come and go, dependent on your diet or how much caffeine you had or how the kids have been. Our feelings go all over the place. But right now, with boldness in your spirit, say to yourself, I'm loved by God. His blood has bought me access to his throne. I can worship by the Holy Spirit. I can encounter his presence. I can know the approval of his spirit in my life. Abba, Father, my spirit cries. And just begin to pray in tongues or pray in English. Just begin to stir yourself up and step over that line. And you watch the atmosphere in your heart change as you do. King of kings, Lord of lords, we worship you. We worship you in this place. Grow your confidence in tongues. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. If you don't speak in tongues and you want to, just put your hand up where you are right now. I'm going to pray for you. Anyone else? Put your hand up high at the back there. Okay. Can we have a few leaders with each of these that don't speak in tongues? Just gather around them. There's a couple here. Anyone else, raise your hands high. Everyone else, speak in tongues, sing in tongues, pray in tongues. If you want to speak in tongues, we pray right now an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on your life, and we release tongues right now. Come on, everybody, pray in tongues. God won't move your tongue, so just begin to speak in faith. And those words will turn into spirit words. Come on, let your confidence grow. That's it. Let your confidence grow. That's brilliant. Come on. That's it. Just pray, pray, pray. Resho kole riambo bola shebolo riandalaria bobo sheleria da baba. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Esho kore bobo shilaria bobo shilaria bobo. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Kariabo, that's it. Pray with confidence. It just feels like you're speaking scribble at the start, and just let that grow. Just let that grow. Jesus, Jesus. All right, let's stop there for a minute. Let's stop there for a minute. Now, guys, when you start to pray in tongues, it just feels like you're talking scribble, okay? And you go, and to be honest, sometimes it comes with a real sense of excitement, but most often it comes with a sense of, oh, is that it? Okay. It's like you're speaking scribble. But something begins to activate, okay? And the word, just like learning any language, the confidence grows and the sense of what's going on in you while you pray grows. So if you're here over this weekend, and even it's great at home on your own, even tonight, grow the confidence. Let the whisper become words that you're sensing. And then it becomes a bit of an adventure as you practice it, okay? But just let that confidence grow in the sense of praying in tongues, okay? Because it edifies, it pushes. It's one of the things, one of many things, that can push you over that line into the presence of God. Now listen, for tonight, most of you here tonight, and I guess some others will join us, right? Here's what we're going to do. Let's, whatever the band do, we're going to go nuts. Now listen, listen. We're going to say, because this is what a body of church believers is like, okay? I want us to say, I don't care where we're starting, we're all going up here tonight. And we're gonna go up there together. We're going to drag those that are struggling with us. We're going to pull them into God's presence. And we're going to have an amazing time in the presence of God. But here's what I need from every one of you is to say, right, I'm going to boldly approach the throne of grace. If he bought the way, but the vehicle that carries me is my boldness and confidence in God's word in my life. So you need to know this. You're forgiven. I don't care what it is. If you confessed it, brought before God, you're forgiven. Understand this. Shame has zero value. Don't hold on to it anymore. Shame doesn't. Conviction is good for you because you change your behavior, but shame has no value. So give that up completely. Understand you're loved. It's the only reason you're here on the planet is for God to love you. So please let him. Stop faffing around with all my sins worse than everyone else's. Oh, no, I bet mine is worse than yours, right? It's time that we had confidence that men and women of God bought with a price to say, right, tonight, we're going before the throne of grace and we're going to have an amazing time in his presence. Are we agreed to do that together? Yes. You've got to promise me boldness, yes. If you can, tongues, worship, none of this kind of, I'm going to meditate my way in. No, meditate once you're in there, but use boldness to get there. Right? And let's enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and let's let God move in this place. If we learn to do this corporately, it makes meetings incredible. Because it's not about how good the preacher is or whether the band did well that week. It's down to the fact that we're a body and we know how to go together. That's what worship culture is. A lot of people come and say, will you come and talk to our band? We want our worship to be better. And I say, no. No, what have they got to do with it? They can get in the way, but they can't make it. We make worship culture. When we know how to worship in spirit and in truth, incredible things break out in church. So we're going to just work into that tonight. Is that okay? But come on, let's have some fun, all right? Now, I know, like I said, for some of you, a whisper is going to be a sacrifice. But whatever's a sacrifice, let's deal with the flesh and go, right, we're going in. We're going to be the body of Christ in the presence of Christ tonight. Amen? So let's have fun. Thank you so much for letting me workshop you this afternoon.